Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to ProWrestling.net Live. I am Jason Powell, and it is fun to be back here. Of course, we are live the Mondays after WWE pay-per-view events at PWAudio.net at 3 Central, 4 Eastern Time. For those of you listening to this on delay, wondering when you can actually take part in the show, I will be joined momentarily by Will Pruitt, .net staffer, who has a good piece up at ProWrestling.net today. We'll get into some discussion on that, but the premise is that he believes there is only one match that should headline WrestleMania. He's ready to end the debate, end the discussion. He has the match in mind, and you can get a sneak peek at as far as the topic of conversation by checking out that blog here as I chat with you guys, but we will certainly be discussing that. I've been kind of on and off teasing an announcement, and you're going to get well, most of it today. Let's just dive in with that. I'm excited to announce that the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast, that's B-O-O-M, Pro Wrestling Boom, will be hosted by me, and it is coming this month. It will be a free weekly show, a little bit of everything, interviews, guest media members joining and analyzing the news of the week. I don't want to talk too much about the format. I'd rather you guys just kind of simply listen to it and take it all in at once, but very excited about this. I get heat from some friends of mine that I don't hype things strongly enough, and so when I tell you that I'm very excited about this and I think you're going to love it, know that I don't really go overboard with that type of talk too often, so hopefully you guys will be checking that out, but check for details, at ProWrestling.net in the days ahead. Again, it'll be the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast, and man, it's going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to that. Also, of course, we are here the day after the WWE Fastlane event. It is the end of an era, because the WWE, the latest run of the dual brand pay-per-view, the split brand pay-per-view is now behind us. Everything moving forward is scheduled to be the dual brand with Raw and SmackDown combined. Of course, starting with WrestleMania, they wiped a couple of pay-per-views off the schedule. And so everything going forward will now be combined shows. And so that should be interesting. As far as last night's show, I think Jake Barnett and I both settled in on a B-minus grade for the show. The main event was the difference maker. Going into it, I felt like it could have gone either way as far as, all right, is this a good show or a bad show? And it turned out to be a very good main event. I was entertained. Yes, it was predictable. Predictable is not always bad, folks. But with that said, let's bring in Will Pruitt and find out what he has to say about this show. Will, we'll start with Fastlane today. What's your letter grade and your just general thoughts on last night's pay-per-view?
I think the show was all right. Like you said, it was really, it hinged on that main event, and the main event was entertaining. I'd probably land at more of a C+ than a B-, partially because I don't ever feel the need to go back and watch that main event again. I don't think that main event mattered in any way. So while it was entertaining and the action was fun and good, it wasn't, it was a very unimportant match. So that's a small amount of criticism for what is a pretty good, what was a pretty good main event.
Yeah, if I assessed it that way, a match that I never want to go back and see again, it's just because of the schedule. I mean, there once in a while I'll be able to go check a WrestleMania main event, but I'd have to throw out like every non-WrestleMania type of pay-per-view almost. I'll say this for the main event. You know, just putting aside the action, which was very good, I liked what they did with Shane McMahon at ringside. I'm like, why is he here? And then, of course, it became very apparent. He took a super kick to the face inadvertently from Kevin Owens, who was looked like targeting Sami Zayn. And then he prevented both men from scoring the deciding pinfalls in the match. And so, Will, Shane's your guy. Is Shane going heel number one? And is that going to be yet another triple threat at WrestleMania?
It does look like they're going towards a triple threat with Shane against Sammy, against Kevin Owens. And as much as Shane is my guy, this SmackDown story has been so poor, and I've been so bummed out about it as I watch it, that I'm not exactly enthusiastic about it. I don't think Shane will go heel in WWE stories. He will always, he will be the big babyface that they want to conquer, and Lord knows he'll dance with his children at some point. But I don't think Shane will go heel. I think this is simply the next step in the Shane and Kevin Owens story that now looking back, it almost feels like they went to the blow-off too soon, because Shane versus Kevin Owens as a singles match would probably be a little bit better at WrestleMania than that triple threat.
Yeah, I agree, but I do think things are looking up for Sami Zayn right now. You know, he's been, ever since he turned, it was like he's with Owens, he's kind of, you know, he's his buddy. He felt, I mean, they've almost hurt Owens to the point that they were equals, but going in, it felt like Sami was kind of the little buddy, and now I just got a big kick out of Owens' music plays last night, and then Sami's in, basically cuts that off, and he just dances right by Kevin Owens. And then with him pinning Kevin Owens last week to end that SmackDown five-way main event, it feels like, for the first time, really, since NXT, Sami Zayn is a player in WWE to some extent. I'm not saying he's going to headline shows or anything, but I feel like, yeah, they've got something going with this character now that didn't exist a few weeks ago.
I mean, he's headlining house shows, so there's that. I think they've got something with Sami. I'm excited for this to end. I want to see where Sami and Kevin end up after a shakeup, after WrestleMania. I want to see if they end up on separate brands, which I kind of hope happens because it has yet to happen in either of their WWE runs. And I want to see if they end up better positioned than they have been and out of this Shane McMahon kerfuffle that we all knew was leading to a WrestleMania match, but it's taken a very long time to get there.
Your thoughts on Daniel Bryan missing the show last night? He apparently posted something online saying that he was like at a family member's wedding, so good for him. I mean, I'm certainly not going to sit here and say that he shouldn't have gone to a family member's wedding, but was he needed last night, or was it actually a good thing that he was out of the picture?
I think it may have been a good thing that he was out of the picture. In that Bryan and Shane mess, you do have the complication of, like, well, if Bryan had been there, he would have pulled Shane away from, say, stopping the second pin or something like that. And I think it would be increasingly hard to tell that story without Bryan getting physical with Shane, which we know he cannot do, or at least we assume he cannot do. So, yeah, I think it's a good thing.
Will this lead now to Daniel Bryan saying what I thought he was going to say like 2 months ago when he put those two together in a handicap match? I really kept waiting for him to, you know, at the last second, pull the rug out from under Owens and Zayn and say that you can't be co-champions. Whoever gets the deciding pinfall is the champion, with the goal of kind of pitting them against one another. Is that going to be their way out of this? Is Daniel Bryan acts like, hey, you didn't give me enough credit. I knew this was going to happen. I knew these two would end up fighting with each other. They can't coexist.
I think it's possible. I mean, honestly, the intricacies of that story matter less to me than just about anything else happening in wrestling right now, which is really depressing because Daniel Bryan, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, and Shane McMahon are all people I really enjoy watching on TV, and I couldn't care less about this story. I think SmackDown's been that much of a creative disaster.
I'm with you. Hey, the number to call today, gang, is 773-897-6321. Once you do call that number, hit 1 on your phone. We have 305 and 859 lined up. We'll be going to you in just a moment. If I didn't say your area code and you want to join the show, if you're in listen mode right now, well, you can stay in listen only mode. But again, in order to let us know that you want to join in on the conversation, just be sure to hit 1 on your phone. Before we start taking calls, Will, you have a new blog up today at prowrestling.net. You have your idea and you feel very strongly about what should be the WrestleMania main event. And no, not one of the 4 or 5 or, you know, however many main events they claim they have, but we'll put it this way, the match that goes on last. Yeah, the true main event, Will. Tell people about that.
Yeah, if I were to tell you that there's a long-reigning champion who is going into WrestleMania, not just as a long-reigning champion, but as the class of their division of wrestlers, they have stood out above and beyond where other wrestlers are as far as their division goes, and have been so for about 2 years. And that they were facing an undefeated phenom coming off of a Royal Rumble win after an over 2-year-long undefeated streak, and that these two wrestlers were set to clash at WrestleMania, you'd say, oh my God, that's absolutely the main event. It should be the main event. There isn't a match they can make that would be bigger than long-term, long-reigning champion who is the class of the division against undefeated Phenom. And it turns out WWE has that match for one of their big titles at WrestleMania this year, and it's Charlotte versus Asuka, which to me is the only logical choice for the main event of that show. And I make that case in the blog, and I think it really, they should consider it, not just because the match is big, but WWE wants to seem like the progressive company and wants to get that cred. What better time than on the show where Ronda Rousey is going to have her first match to make the statement that, oh yeah, women WrestleMania main event now.
Okay, now you want that match. What are your odds? What would you place the odds that they actually do close with that match?
I would say 10%-ish. I think there's a lot going on this WrestleMania card between your two title matches, with which both at the moment seem fairly compelling, and with the Ronda Rousey mixed tag as well, and the rumored John Cena versus Undertaker match, it would be really hard to get to. I think that there will be a lot of matches in line in front of Charlotte versus Asuka to headline and main event.
I'm totally cool with them headlining with that match in a couple of scenarios. Number one, I want them to own it. I want them to tell us that they're going to close the show with that match in advance and make a big deal out of it. Yeah, I don't want them just, sneaking it in there and then patting themselves on the back afterward. Really own that and explain why it's closing the show, because I think in your blog you lay out those good arguments, as you just did here as well. And the other part of it is, well, it has to be the right match. They have to have the right thing in mind. We need a clean finish. Will, my guard is up for Carmella with that Money in the Bank briefcase, cashing in during the match, unsuccessfully being pinned, probably by Asuka, so that her unbeaten streak stays intact, and that way they avoid giving us a finish to Asuka against Charlotte. You can't close the show with that if that's what they have in mind. How likely do you think that scenario is?
I would also put that at maybe 5%. I don't think that's likely at all. I think on any other show, I could understand that fear. At WrestleMania, I go back to, they're really hoping, they're hoping Ronda Rousey helps to bring a lot of people in, and I think they're hoping to have more women watching this year's WrestleMania than ever. And I think having that cheap and hard-to-explain finish on that show would be really unfortunate in a way. And the echoes of Seth Rollins' successful cash-in at WrestleMania 31, I think, are too close. I also do not see Carmella, whenever she cashes in, I do not see her being unsuccessful, so I don't see her doing it at WrestleMania that way. It's the first women's Money in the Bank. The same way that the first, 10, 11 men's Money in the Bank had to be successful to kind of create the legend of it, I think they need to do the same thing with the women. I would have Carmella hold on to it, have her get shipped over to Raw in the shakeup, and then have her defeat sometime in April or May, defeat whoever the champion is for a title reign. Even if it's a quickie 2-week title reign or something like that, get through Mania, have Carmella take advantage of a down champion and see what she can do for a couple weeks or even longer with the title. Because what we saw from her when she won Money in the Bank were excellent promos and some really good personality work. I don't think she's quite there in the ring where she would need to be to hang with the upper echelon of the women on Raw or SmackDown. But at the same time, I don't think she's terrible. Her performance last night was fine. It was good. I saw no issues with it. So I think you could easily have Carmella be champion for a couple weeks or even longer, depending on how you want to structure a division.
Can we lose the moonwalk? I mean, it's something that 45-year-old me does jokingly to get a laugh out of my girlfriend's sister. Maybe I'm feeding into what they think is the heat there who the hell would moonwalk on a WWE stage in 2018? It just seems so unrealistic.
I just wonder how slippery the stage has to be to make it work. I think about the logic of it The LED boards, I doubt they're that slippery. You can probably get a pretty good grip on those.
I mean, Michael Hayes seemed out of touch when he was doing it back in the day. And, you know, that was closer to when the moonwalk was actually cool, when Michael Jackson did it. So here we are all
these
years.
You think Michael Hayes is mentoring her to moonwalk?
Oh, I'd like to see that video for sure. I would hope so. What do you say we take some calls? Because we do have some people lined
up. Let's do it.
All right, everybody. Once again, in case you're joining us late, I am Jason Powell. He is Will Pruitt, and this is ProWrestling.net Live, and we are here the Mondays after WWE pay-per-view events at 3 Central, 4 Eastern at pwaudio.net. And the number to join us today is 773-897-6321. And joining us, oh, and be sure to hit 1 on your phone once you call that number to let us know that you want to join in on the conversation. But first in line today, somebody who got on the line before I even did, is 305. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, guys, DJ from Miami.
I thought that might be you, DJ. What's going on today?
I got a couple things. My first thing is, I don't know where to start. I guess we can start with the John Cena thing. I'm just not really up to seeing Taker come out and, you know, see him get a concussion, get hurt more. I mean, I think John Cena should take on somebody who, you know, is there, not somebody who just never around. I hope that, I'm not sure, but I think Samoa Joe, but I'm not sure he's going to be back in time. What do you guys think on, really, you think that Undertaker is going to go through with it, or what do you think is going to really go on?
I do, yeah. I mean, I get the concerns, and I think you and I have had this conversation before, Will. I don't think you're a big fan of it, of Taker returning, but I do think you're going to hear the gong sound for John Cena perhaps as early as tonight, and then with Samoa Joe, I don't know what his status is for WrestleMania, but I also see that Braun Strowman is out there without a dance partner. Yeah, he's been doing things with Elias on television, but he seems like he's been pretty much manhandling him, so it doesn't seem like they're setting that up for a WrestleMania match. So, Will, I'm leaning still Strowman, Joe, if healthy, and then Cena, Taker. Do you feel differently?
I'm leaning in that same direction. I think Cena, Taker is almost guaranteed to happen, and, you know, I'm not excited about it. I wish it were happening 2 or 3 years ago when Cena Taker would have been something a little more compelling, but now Taker's taken a couple losses, and I believe last year proved he is not capable of having an epic main event quality match. And that's what really bums me out. It's like, for years it's been, yeah, but Taker gets up for WrestleMania, Taker gets there for Mania, and then it was, well, he was concussed, so it was, you know, he couldn't get there. And then it was, well, it was just the comeback match against Bray Wyatt. He didn't need to get there for that one. And then it was, oh, yeah, but it's the Shane McMahon match, and Taker didn't need to have an epic one there. I think Taker hasn't been able to have an epic match for a long time, and we're continuing to see him just look worse and worse in the ring, and maybe he had some sort of miracle hip surgery. Maybe we're going to get to WrestleMania, and he's going to be completely healthy and moving around like he could 5 years ago, but I doubt it, and I don't. I don't really want to see it. But on the flip side, when John Cena, I was sitting in the front row of Raw when John Cena did the big tease of, facing The Undertaker, and I saw fans get up for it, and I thought, okay, I see why they're doing it. I don't love it, but I see why they're doing it. And I guess a dream match is better had late than never.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's how I'm looking. I mean, boy, you just hope Taker can get through that without any major issues, obviously. And I do wonder if this will be labeled, that we've talked about it for years, Taker's last ride. If this is going to be billed as his final match. Last year you saw him leave the hat and gloves in the ring. I don't know if he goes full Ned Braden from Slapshot and just completely gets nude and leaves everything in the ring for the send-off this year. I'm guessing not. But if it is the last ride, you know, I think that really helps market WrestleMania in a big way in a year where it doesn't feel like it really needs something. Like, there have been other years where it's like, man, if Taker was retiring, that would be what this WrestleMania needs. You know, obviously you're not going to rush the guy into it, and they didn't. But, you know, there have been other years where the Mania lineup just wasn't so hot, and it's like, well, gosh, if this was just the last ride and they could build it that way, that would sell Mania. Let me ask you, Will, before going back to DJ, What do you think about the possibility of this being labeled a career versus career match only because, well, Cena can't seem to get the job done lately? I mean, he did pin AJ Styles, but he failed at the Rumble. He failed at Elimination Chamber. He failed at Fastlane. Is Taker coming with the idea of putting Cena out of his misery?
I think it's possible. I think it would be more compelling to have Taker goading John Cena into this match than or kind of challenging, because I don't think the John Cena character will never need to be goaded into a match. He's John Cena. He'll fight. But he does need to be persuaded in a way like, no, you've got to get up for this. And I think that could be a compelling way to tell the story. I hope Taker is a better promo than he was on Raw 25 if he's going to need to carry that much weight, though.
Well, hopefully he'll actually, you know, it'll be better because he'll have something to talk about, unlike Raw 25, where it's like they tried to be all mysterious, and I think everyone was just kind of left going, what the hell was that? All right, DJ, I know you had more for us. Fire away.
Yeah, my second one is I want to take a left turn. What is going to happen with Jeff Hardy? He's going to get fired, suspended. Where do we go with Jeff Hardy?
I guess I'd be surprised if there's any sort of termination, any major fallout, never say never, because if Vince wakes up on the wrong side of the bed and says, I've had enough of this. But hey, one of the Usos just had one, and both Uso brothers have one, and I guess Jeff Hardy, just like the Usos, not eligible to play in the XFL at this point. But beyond that, Will, it kind of seems like the precedent's been set, where obviously the company doesn't applaud it, but even the statement they issued on this, making it seem like, hey, this is a personal matter. And you know, if there were another incident or something, if he starts traveling down, you know, sunny territory, then maybe that changes things. But for right now, I don't know that there's going to be any severe backlash for Jeff Hardy. What do you think?
I agree. WWE isn't under intense media scrutiny right now, which they have been in the past. They're not facing a ton of people saying, this is what's wrong with wrestling and Jeff Hart. So I think the Jeff Hardy thing will probably just disappear and we won't hear about it again the same way the Usos DUIs have. And as much as I wish WWE would kind of take the issue more seriously at times, they don't. And it's a precedent set. They have no official policy or no like must suspend clause for DUIs for wrestlers.
Yeah, and I should point out, for those who may just be listening to the show and haven't had a chance to check out things online, it was Saturday night in Concord, North Carolina. Jeff was driving his 2016 Cadillac, and he ended up running into a guardrail, kind of like, by the sounds of it, he kind of skidded alongside of it for a good 105 feet, and then
way
ended
to go,
up...
Jeff.
Yeah, man. He took a breathalyzer and blew a .25, which is just over three times the legal limit. And WWE's statement on the matter is, Jeff Hardy is responsible for his own personal actions. We are investigating the matter and awaiting information from local law enforcement officials. So there, everyone can feel caught up now. But, yeah, I mean, he is close to returning. So, again, you never know. It's a Vince McMahon call, but... I will be surprised, DJ, if there's severe punishment from WWE to Jeff Hardy. What else
and
do you have?
One thing I'll add
Before
we go back. If Jeff is having personal issues, because he does have a history of issues with addiction in his past and past WWE run, I hope WWE is closely monitoring him and will say, hey, dude, go get help, like they have before, and help him, because that would be... The kind of the red flag that comes up for me is like, oh man, we've been here. We've been in similar places with Jeff Hardy before.
Yeah, in fact, goddamn member Efren pointed out that tomorrow, I believe it is the anniversary of his big Victory Road incident from all those years ago.
Ooh,
Yeah, you know, I mean, it seems like Jeff is. It seemed like corner. You know, that fatherhood was obviously a good thing for him, and he had kind of changed his ways. Doesn't mean he doesn't go out and enjoy a cocktail or something like that, but we haven't heard any of the horror stories that we've heard actually involving both Hardy brothers over the years. And so I guess one thing that popped into my head today, too, is that, well, not that I know of him having a prescription pill issue, but look, he has been he's rehabbing from surgery, and you just do wonder where there's some prescription pills involved in that. So hopefully it's just a poor decision on Jeff Hardy's part. Fortunately, it doesn't seem like he or anyone else was injured in this accident, and hopefully there's not any type of a major issue there with Jeff Hardy, and he can just pay the price for this legally and hopefully move forward with his life. All right, DJ, what else?
I got one question, but I got one quick asking question. What's the deal with Bob Lashley? Is he coming back or not? Because I thought he was coming back, but my main question is this. Because I didn't know it was a yes or no if he was coming back. But my main thing was the Ronda Rousey thing. Do you think they're going to put her on for a week at a time? Or do you not think they're going to put her on that much because she doesn't cut a good promo?
Yeah, that's an easy one because WWE announced last week that she will be on every edition of Raw leading into WrestleMania. So they wanted to make that clear that she will be there. So tonight's Raw all the way through WrestleMania, presumably the night after WrestleMania as well. And, you know, you mentioned the promo. I think she's improved already, but it is still a work in progress. And with that, Will, I mean, it should feel like a big deal that you have Ronda Rousey there weekly. Maybe it plays into something with their television contract and, you know, trying to impress people with that. But you do run the risk that by having her on television every week, you overexpose her and she loses some of that star aura, you know, that special attraction aura, if creatively it isn't up to snuff. Where do you stand on that?
Yeah, I hope that if they're going to have her on every week, that they have carefully plotted this out and they know exactly what beats they're going to hit on a weekly basis to make sure that Ronda is protected. And I'd assume, I mean, sometime in the next few weeks, we've got to see Stephanie and Triple H get the better of Ronda and Kurt Angle. They have to do something to put the heat back on Stephanie and Triple H to make people want to see Ronda and Kurt get revenge. And my hope is that as they do that, we see, hey, Ronda can act this. Ronda's doing fine as far as acting and her promo work there goes. But I think WWE is doing the right thing for their TV contract. I kind of wondered with, you know, them announcing she would be on every Raw up until WrestleMania. I kind of wonder if they also wanted to say in that same sentence, did you hear us, Fox Network? Every TV show with Ronda Rousey. Fox!
Yeah, their new best buddies over at Fox. That's going to be an interesting story to follow this year. Perhaps the biggest story of 2018 is what happens with WWE, not just with television rights, but also a potential sale. But with so much going on with Fastlane, WrestleMania, and heck, I'm sure we'll spend some time talking about the Ring of Honor 16th anniversary show that took place on Friday night as well. We'll save those conversations for .NET Weekly and future editions, but that is definitely a huge story to follow. DJ also asked, and thank you for the call, DJ, always good to hear from you, about Bobby Lashley. And there's been reports that he signed with WWE. I can't verify that, but it wouldn't surprise me either, just simply because he was no longer under contract to Impact Wrestling. He ended up finishing up with them at this set of tapings that is still airing on television. So he is a free agent. He was telling people at the tapings that he was noncommittal about WWE and making it seem like he had a fight coming up with Bellator in April. To the best of my knowledge, I don't follow MMA closely, but I don't believe anything has been announced for Lashley and Bellator. So, I mean, yeah, I would think that there's a very good chance, Will, that we see Lashley. Hell, he could be an opponent for Braun Strowman, but for that matter, they could also hold out and save him for post-WrestleMania if they want to. But I think good reason to suspect that Lashley is WWE-bound again.
Yeah, and I think Bobby Lashley is a really nice post-WrestleMania surprise. I wouldn't have him debut in the build-up to WrestleMania. Where do you put him? Now he just seems like an unnecessary extra piece, and WrestleMania already is almost completely constructed of triple threat matches because the roster is too large.
Yeah, no kidding. Triple threat likely for the SmackDown tag titles. Looks like they're building to a triple threat for the U.S. title. SmackDown is like the land of triple threats, not opportunity these days. We'll see just how many they put together. Before we get to the next caller, Will, I do want to ask you really quick, what's your gut tell you on the Raw side? You know, there's been a lot of speculation that Well, I mean, they'd kind of tried to steer fans into believing that Asuka was going to challenge Alexa Bliss. That match is off the table now that it's confirmed Asuka challenging Charlotte instead. Is it as simple as Alexa facing Nia Jax? Do you think they add Sasha Banks and Bayley to that and go with another multi-person match? Or do they stick to their guns and go singles and maybe give Sasha and Bayley their own match?
I hope we get Alexa and Nia as a singles match and Sasha and Bayley as a singles match. I tweeted last night, Jason, it's been 12 years since there has been a women's singles match at WrestleMania without Lumberjacks involved.
Wow.
12 years. Yeah. So, like, at that, I'm like, cool, let's load WrestleMania up with three of them. Like, there's no reason not to, other than time. But looking at how they're conserving time with some of the triple threats and getting, like, your Randy Orton in your U.S. title match, killing two birds with one stone there, I think it's very possible that we end up getting all three of those. And I've got to say, I hope we do. I think that Alexa and Nia would be a really fun WrestleMania match, and I would be a little bummed out to see that as a four-way with Sasha and Bayley added, partially because the Raw Women's Championship match at WrestleMania last year was Charlotte versus Nia Jax versus Bayley versus Sasha Banks. So now you're just
right.
Swapping out Charlotte for Alexa Bliss and doing the same damn thing.
Yeah, I mean, they feel like they have to get everyone on the show. I do wonder. I mean, it's been we've joked about it. Now it almost sounds
that's
like there's
why Andre
a chance
invented
of it happening.
Battle Royals.
Yeah, the China may actually be a thing, Will. As much as we've joked about it, there's certainly been some. I don't know if it's reported or just strong speculation of that happening.
No. A battle royal, a big tag match. I mean, I think, really, it's not the Raw roster that I look at and go, these women need to get on the card. It's like Naomi and Becky Lynch, where I'm like, and Ruby Riott, really, where I'm like, oh, come on. Why SmackDown got to be trash? The writing of SmackDown led to them only having one woman on the WrestleMania card from their roster. I do wonder, hey, are they going to do some sort of big multi-woman tag? And I think that would be fine to do on the pre-show as much as I'm like, get everyone on the main show. That never happens. So do a big, 12-woman tag, do a big Andre the Giant Battle Royal for the men, and let WrestleMania have the singles matches people want to see and have built up to.
Hey, remember, if you want to join us on the show today, your number to call is 773-897-6321, and then just hit 1 on your phone to let us know that you want to join in the conversation. That's what 859 has done. I do see a lot of you on hold. The 859 is the only one in the queue. So if you're on hold and you want to join the phone or join the show, hit 1 on your phone to let us know that you wanted to join in the conversation. But it's cool if you stay in listen-only mode, too, because we do have some emails and other things to discuss. But let's go to 859. Who is this? Where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Fountainhead member J Moss 26, Jeremy Moses from Oklahoma City.
Yeah, all the way, by way of Cincinnati, you've made the jump.
Yeah, I made the jump. Now it's been over 2 months, and I love it here.
Good. Well, what's on your mind today?
Well, a couple different things. First off, EC3, where do you see him going once he's, spent time in NXT? Do you see him Raw or SmackDown?
Boy, J-Moss, for me anyway, it's just too early to tell. Let's let that whole NXT thing play out. Let's wait and see what SmackDown means, simply because of this television negotiation. I mean, right now it just looks like it's a big B show. Does it drop even further as we move forward? I don't know. Will, do you have anything jumping out at you as far as where EC3 would go on the main roster?
No, not yet, but I wouldn't wish SmackDown on my worst enemy right now.
Yeah, for so long it was, man, they just need to move so-and-so from Raw to SmackDown, and boy, is that taking a turn. What else, J-Mon?
All right, so Lashley, what do you think of him versus Roman Reigns, maybe at SummerSlam?
Sure, works for me. Look, Lashley, for people who I've said this before. If you're somebody who only watches WWE, you don't keep tabs on Impact Wrestling or whatever, and you're not familiar with Lashley, these days you just remember him being that guy who looked like a deer in the headlights whenever they'd stick a microphone in front of him. He has improved greatly, both in the ring and certainly on the microphone. This is if he is coming to WWE, it's a really nice signing for them, and I think he will be in that upper mix, whether he's on Raw or SmackDown. He's that good. Anything else, J-Boss? We're getting a little feedback, so I'm kind of rushing you, bud.
I think we're good. So just wanted to call in and, you know, check in. It's been a while.
Yeah, well, great to hear from you. Always nice to hear from you. Sorry we had that little feedback issue, but enjoy Oklahoma. It's pretty cool. He, lifelong Cincinnati resident and up and decided to take a chance, basically bet on himself moving out to Oklahoma for, I believe, something work-related. So pretty cool, and always good to hear from J-Moss. Will, I kind of rushed him off. Did you have anything to add about Lashley?
No, I think Lashley and Reigns and SummerSlam is a definite possibility. I think Lashley would be a really compelling first opponent for Roman Reigns as well. When he, you know, we're going to need to set something up for Reigns. I think they may want to hold off on Braun getting another title shot until he's winning. So Lashley would be a really great guy to slide into the title picture immediately.
Hey, we are over halfway through the show. I do want to take a moment to tell you guys that if you enjoy this podcast and you enjoy some of the free audio content that we give you guys, know that the .NET members hear a ton of audio content. They, for instance, they're listening to the 57-minute audio review of Fastlane that Jake Barnett and I recorded last night. Jake and I get together after all of the WWE pay-per-view events. They're also listening to my audio review of Friday's Ring of Honor 16th anniversary show. They will hear my Raw audio review tonight after the show, SmackDown on Tuesday after the show, and then they also hear audio reviews of the NXT shows, Ring of Honor's weekly television show, 205 Live, Lucha Underground once it's back in season, Impact Wrestling. So all the major shows are covered in audio form, so if you enjoy audio content, know that we have a ton of it available for you guys. And the best part is it's on the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net. So if you go to the site, all of the ads disappear once you become a member. And if you are interested in membership, very simple. You don't have to go here, jump here, do all this stuff that I used to have to tell you to do. Go to pwmembership.net for more details. That's pwmembership.net. And as always, if you have any questions, you can reach out to me via email at dotnetjason@gmail.com. Don't do what my girlfriend wants to do and start with a period. Spell it out, dotnet. And it's dotnetjason@gmail.com. Or you can reach out to me on Twitter, at ProWrestlingNet. With the business out of the way, I was going to go to an email, but looks like I don't want to keep somebody waiting on the phone lines. Let's go to 215. Who is this? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Jason. My name is Joe. I'm calling from Philly. How's it going?
Doing great, Joe. Congratulations on the Eagles.
Thanks very much. Not that I had anything to do with it.
Yeah, you know, I get that from people. Like, why do you congratulate fans? It's like, because I'm a long-suffering Viking fan, and, man, if that team ever won a Super Bowl, I would feel like, yeah, somebody owes me some congratulations. So that's why I always say that. But go ahead.
I got you. That makes sense. Okay, quick question for you, and then I'm just going to let you go. Do you think Mike Bennett has any hope at all? Because I look on Twitter, I follow him. Dude's in the best shape of his life. And I feel like, you know, he could be contributing something at the very least. Like, I don't understand why he's not on NXT, maybe with the Undisputed Era. So what are your thoughts on Bennett?
Good question. And thank you for the call. I like Mike Bennett. I thought he really was in a rough place in Ring of Honor. Yeah, granted, he and I think it was Matt Taven were doing well as a tag team by the time he left. But he got brought in with all that hype. And just, you know, that fan base didn't take to him. And he needed a change of scenery. He goes to Impact Wrestling, and Lord knows Impact hasn't always been the great place to go, but he made the most of it. You know, guys like him and EC3 and Lashley have kind of changed that perception that it's the place that you go when you're, you know, for your career to die. It's not like that. And he and Maria both stepped up in a big way, and so I was happy for both of them when they ended up being signed to WWE deals. Here's the thing. I think Maria, with her main roster experience, I'm guessing she had no desire to go to NXT, and so they put them both on the main roster. And I think Mike Bennett could have used a run in NXT if things were different. And Will, I mean, you know, you also look at it, and it wasn't long after he signed that, you know, word came out that he had entered some sort of a rehab program for a pill addiction, I believe it was, and good for him for addressing that issue. But then it wasn't much longer after that that she announced that she was pregnant. And so whatever plans WWE had for the two of them together, I mean, obviously congratulations to them on the baby news, but whatever plans they had for them, you can see how they quickly derailed. And, you know, you can't really blame WWE for that, but I do hope that they'll give Bennett something, because it does seem like, yeah, they're not even trying with him now. I mean, he's one of the few guys who didn't crack the SmackDown exclusive pay-per-view last night, for instance. So what do you think the future holds for Mike Bennett and WWE?
I think they're kind of going back to the starting point with him, probably when they can get Maria back on TV, more than the addiction issue, which kudos to him for getting help and getting clean. I think that's awesome and an amazing thing to do. And a shout out to WWE as well for keeping him underemployed, like keeping him employed while he did so, and not just saying, we'll pay for your rehab, you're off the roster.
Right.
Like, both of those are huge. And I think people who listen to me a lot know I give the WWE a lot of flack for some of their corporate policies and things they do, but hey, that's a classy move. And it's hard to call it anything but that. But I think they'll get back on track when Maria can come back. I think that's what they're waiting for at this point, is for Maria to be able to come back. And up until that point, I don't know that they will do much with Mike Kanellis, as he was called in WWE, which, again, that says something right there, that they wanted it to be Mike Kanellis, you know, that they wanted Maria to be such a big part of that act, and they wanted them to have this obnoxious kind of character arc, and it just didn't. Their debut did not go how WWE wanted it to, but they can always start again or have him start again somewhere else. But I think he will get a chance eventually, and be it in NXT or on the SmackDown roster or Raw, or, you know, wherever he lands eventually when he's back in a TV capacity. I look forward to seeing what he is able to do in the ring.
Were you encouraged by them having Maria Kanellis appear on Raw 25?
Yeah, I think it showed that she's at least still there, you know? Like,
yeah.
they still have plans for them, and have her in their mind that they brought her in for it, that it wasn't just, you know, that she wasn't a blank spot.
Yeah, I hope it works out. I do think there are a couple of talented individuals, and especially she was, I would say, the best talker in Impact Wrestling there for a while when she was finally... For whatever reason, Ring of Honor rarely gave her the mic, but once she got to Impact Wrestling, they did. And she was just a pleasure to watch in that company and that role that she had.
I think the two of them will find success wherever they go, whether it's in WWE or not. Like, say his future is not in WWE and they get through the pregnancy and all of that, and WWE waits a PR, like, mandated amount of time and then lets him go. I think they would find success anywhere. And we've seen more and more that wrestlers can make a really solid living outside of WWE if they're talented enough, and he is.
Open phone line, 773-897-6321. Again, hit 1 on your phone if you would like to join in on the conversation once you call that number. We kind of already covered a couple of Don Murphy's email questions. .NET member Don Murphy at work today, and so he's unable to take part in the show. But he did send some questions in for the show, and one of them, you may have kind of covered this, but we did talk about Jeff Hardy, and we talked about the whole Money in the Bank scenario. So the third one that he had is for you, Will. And he says, after last night, where do you want to see your favorite wrestler, Shane McMahon, at WrestleMania? A, in a triple threat with Zayn and Owens. B, as a referee for Zayn versus Owens. Or C, one-on-one with Daniel Bryan. He says, of the three, which is the most likely? He says he's going with A for now.
Yeah, I think A is most likely. I would most want to see him torn, because I want to see Daniel Bryan in a match. I want it bad, but at the same time, Daniel Bryan against Shane McMahon, I can't help but think Daniel Bryan would suffer a couple more concussions from Shane's punches, and that would be unfortunate, to say the least. So I think I'll go with A.
Now, do they hurt or they miss by a mile, or is it some combination of both?
Somehow it's both. You see, he's really bad at punching, but he connects at the same time. Like, you remember the Randy Orton? Like, he potatoes the hell out of Randy Orton, like, in those 2009 matches. But they look terrible, but there's fist-on-skull contact every time.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, so he's just swinging for the fences, and if he hits you, God help you, but there's a pretty good chance that he's going to miss you too, right?
Shane McMahon should be training his sister for MMA fighting right now.
That's maybe he is. I mean, keep in mind, this is the guy who is an MMA guru to the point that he was able to work over Undertaker with all of his MMA spots. I was so impressed, we'll just say. Also, Mark Sherry, .net member, checks in and says he would like our thoughts on the performance of the Performance Center. Have they produced better stars than the indies could? And he said it seems like they started it so they didn't have to train bad habits out of wrestlers, but the people coming out are starting to feel homogenized. Your thoughts on that, Will?
When I look for victories of the Performance Center, I remember a few things. One is that it's sort of WWE finishing school. So it's more than just the basics of wrestlers. A lot of wrestlers go there to get, hey, you're going to get, you know, you're going to get taught psychology with Shawn Michaels. I mean, what could be better than that if you're a pro wrestler than getting to sit down with Shawn Michaels and walk through your matches? And I look at that and I go, wow, Johnny Gargano, a guy who came up on the indies, really benefited from those opportunities. So I think the Performance Center does a decent job. When I look at from the ground up guys through there, I mean, who have we really seen? Baron Corbin. I think Elias is a ground up guy, and Elias is great. Baron Corbin is slightly less than great. I think you end up with a mixed bag like you would anywhere else. But as far as getting wrestlers ready for the main roster, for NXT and for the main roster, I think it does a decent enough job.
I do, too. You know, I think they get a bit of a bad rap on this. I just had somebody comment in the comment section. They could only think of a couple of people that they would consider WWE originals. But and so I responded to it, and look, Braun Strowman is an original. Elias did it. You know, Elias had some experience on the indies, but he was never a star on the indies. Alexa Bliss and, you know, a number of the women, I would say, about Big E? Roman Reigns, Chad Gable, Jason Jordan. Now, some of them did start in Florida Championship Wrestling when that school was around. But still, I mean, they've come through the WWE system. So I think there's more than people realize. And I think another advantage to the Performance Center is they want to make themselves attractive to the Ronda Rouseys of the world. Not that, you know, it's all just for that, but it's an added bonus that you have this world-class training facility. Keep in mind that they had conversations at one point. They had Jim Ross talk with the NFL Players Association about the idea of recruiting some people that weren't going to make NFL teams to WWE. So, you know, they're already good athletes, and then you have life after the NFL if you are qualified to come to the Performance Center. So they get to go, and it didn't really lead anywhere, not that there's an official relationship there, but still, I mean, we've seen them bring in a lot of people from different sports backgrounds and not many of them have really cracked the roster yet or anything, but still, they brought a lot of people in, and it really is comparable, they say, to what an NFL facility is like. You know, I haven't toured the Performance Center, so I can't really speak to that. I mean, I've certainly seen enough shots of it and things to know that it's very nice. It is a very nice facility, and so yeah, I think they get a bad rap on that. I personally give them a lot of credit for not doing what I feared, which is we're going to push the hell out of the people that we call originals just for political reasons, and kind of these indie darlings. If they're good enough, then we might use a couple of them. It hasn't been that way, you know. You can find some cases to the contrary, maybe, Will, but by and large, it seems like the cream rises to the top there. They don't. Maybe your originals get an extra opportunity or two here and there, but it doesn't seem like they're just being pushed ahead of those who spent a decade or something on the independent scene.
Yeah, I look at the NXT roster right now and who's getting an opportunity there, and you've got Aleister Black and Andrade Almas main eventing the next NXT TakeOver show. Neither one of them are quote-unquote Performance Center originals. You know, I kind of ticked down that list of who's going to be on that card, and what, Velveteen Dream is an original? Like, it's harder to spot the originals in NXT. The Authors of Pain are originals. It's harder to spot those originals in NXT than it is to spot the actual, the full-time regular, just, you know, the former indie guys. I also think you look at how WWE is bringing in talent, and I would say recruitment overall is so much better than it was in, like, the Johnny Ace era. And that's a victory for the Performance Center. I think in general, the whole developmental system is so much better than it was in the prior era that it's easy to forget. Like, there was a time where, you know, the knock on Kevin Owens was always, yeah, but Ring of Honor champion's the best he's ever going to do. That dude's been WWE Universal Champion now.
Right.
It's nuts to think about, but, like, go back and tell 2010 you that, oh, yeah, Kevin Owens is a future WWE champion. You'd be like, did he, like, get the lap band? Like, whoa, how? How? No one's going to sign him there. And I don't say that to be mean to Owens, because I realize that joke comes off a little mean-spirited, but I say it just with how much more they put a talented star forward in WWE now, whether or not they are their right look or the right build or the right anything that you would think a WWE star would be back in the day.
Yeah, I think Vince McMahon has gotten over some of his stigmas. I mean, there was a point where it didn't seem like he was even fond of, like, tattoos, let alone somebody wearing a shirt in a WWE ring. Yeah, and we've seen tag teams like the Dudleys, I think Bubba has over the years. But still, I mean, Kevin Owens, Universal Champion, heavy set guy wearing a shirt. You know, and even he commented on that at one point. It's like, well, nobody doubted. Like Gabe Sapolsky's kind of pointed out, like, guys with Daniel Bryan, he always knew that they'd get there, and he's not surprised by it, even though so many others were. And it's like, no one doubted the skills of Bryan Danielson. No one doubted the skills of Kevin Owens. It wasn't people questioning whether they had what it took as much as it was whether Vince McMahon would kind of stick to his old ways and kind of rule people out based on their appearance or what have you. And so, yeah, I'm happy to see that has changed. Let's see, I guess I do want to spend, I guess I'll throw the number out one more time. We probably have time for one more call, maybe. So it's 773-897-6321. Hit that one on your phone to let us know that you want to join in on the conversation. But Will, did you get a chance to see the 16th anniversary show that Ring of Honor put on Friday night?
Yeah, I watched it this morning while writing up a blog and kind of having my morning coffee and getting ready for my day.
And what did you think?
I thought it was a pretty good show. The ROH anniversary shows, I think it's not ROH's biggest show they do. It's not even the most important show in, like, the first half of the year or something. But because there's a number attached to it, I think I know in my own head, at least, I build it up a little more. And then I end up watching it, I'm like, oh, yeah, it's just a mid-level ROH pay-per-view. Cool. But I thought it had some really solid action. The Takahashi and Flip Gordon match, I really enjoyed. The Young Bucks, the Hung Bucks six-man against SoCal Uncensored, I really liked. And it had a pretty good main event with Dalton Castle and Jay Lethal that had me buying into some near falls towards the end. So a pretty solid Ring of Honor show, and you know, really made great, I think, by the Cody and Kenny Omega angle and moment in the middle of the show as well.
Now, I don't believe you're going to Mania this year, are you?
No, I'm not.
Okay, if you were, because, I mean, it's easy to say, well, I'll just watch both, but if you had to choose, let's say you're in New Orleans for Mania weekend and you've gone to Manias in the past, what would you be going with if you had the option to go to either the NXT show or the Ring of Honor Supercard of Honor? Because there is overlap there. Unfortunately,
yeah.
I still think Ring of Honor should run their show earlier just for the fans. Forget the whole, you know, big you-know-what contest and, you know, all that. Just run it earlier. Please your fans who want to attend both, but they're not. And so now people have a choice to make. What would you choose?
I would probably choose the Ring of Honor show at this moment. I think Kenny versus Cody is just about as big of a match as Ring of Honor can put out there. You're talking about a really big match, and you know it's going to be built up more through the New Japan in Long Beach show next weekend. My God, that's already like not like this coming weekend, but it's the weekend after.
Yeah, less than 2 weeks away now.
Yeah, you know it's going to get built up more there, and I think that may be one of the biggest matches of Mania weekend to me, right up there with some of the WrestleMania main events, which says a lot about those two guys and where they're at. As good as that NXT show seems, I would probably say, you know what? I'll catch that on the network when I get home, and I'm going to watch that Ring of Honor show. And that's different than how I've felt, and even when I've gone to WrestleMania, the choice I've made, I've usually always picked the NXT show to go to and kind of said, okay, well, you know, Ring of Honor will be there whenever. But this year, I'm definitely thinking that Ring of Honor show feels like it's more worth watching.
You know, they both, it's a really tough decision. I mean, I'm guessing, I still have to talk with John Moore, I'm guessing I'll end up covering Ring of Honor live because John has taken over the NXT duties. And, I don't know if it was like, I might have to flip a coin on that because the NXT show looks great also. And, you know, you have that six-way ladder match that they're doing. I know it's kind of semi-trailer, so I won't get into the names, but it's for the first ever North American Championship. Kind of a weird way to introduce a title, but at the same time, looks like a really fun match. Do you think, by the way, does that mean we're not getting a ladder match on the main card at WrestleMania this year since we're getting one the night before on TakeOver?
Yep. I think it would be downright silly for them to try to top because that would be the environment of, okay, well, now the WrestleMania one has to be even bigger and better. And that, I think we'll get some sort of something on WrestleMania. We'll get a no DQ stipulation. We'll get some sort of, for lack of a better word, garbage or plunder match at Mania. But I do not think it's going to be a ladder match because why would you try to top what NXT is going to do that night?
Yeah, man, it's I feel bad for anyone. I mean, they're pros. They'll make it work, but that's going to be a tough one to top. You're absolutely right about that. I did find it interesting. My review of Ring of Honor's television show from over the weekend will be available shortly on the main page. Bully Ray, who's going into the WWE Hall of Fame, referred to Kenny Omega against Cody as the biggest match of that weekend. So he wasn't just talking about Ring of Honor. Yeah, interesting. It is a huge match. You know, I don't know why I'd call it the biggest, but I think it's fair to at least include it in that conversation.
I would usually, when an indie says that, and I should clarify, Ring of Honor is not an independent promotion. They're owned by a bigger company than WWE. But when you know, a smaller wrestling promotion, despite its corporate overlords and their terrible, terrible political leanings, when a wrestling promotion says that in WrestleMania weekend, like, it's the biggest match of the weekend, I usually roll my eyes and get, I'm like, don't try. This one, I'm like, they got a point. I think that match is bigger than any of the NXT matches that night.
Wow.
I think
they've done such a great job of building this up. And by the way, we have increased, if you're somebody who doesn't frequent the site, I'm sure there's people that hear this that don't always visit the site, I have increased the New Japan Pro Wrestling coverage. Like, if there's an English broadcast, I've been trying to review it at least the morning after. It happens at early in the morning. I'm not crazy enough to. I'm too old to stay up until 5:30 in the morning. So I just cover it when I get up, and it's usually available sometime that afternoon. And with the New Japan tournament going on right now, the New Japan Cup, some of those broadcasts do not have English commentary. So you'll find results, but there are some New Japan full-on reviews that I've been doing. Check that out. And I've just been diving headfirst into this product after watching mostly Wrestle Kingdoms over the years. And, man, it's been a lot of fun. And it's cool to see it play out both on Ring of Honor television and New Japan, this whole Kenny and Cody thing. Kenny Omega showing up at the Ring of Honor 16th anniversary pay-per-view. Austin Aries did as well. And as we talked about in .NET Weekly weeks ago, right after, basically, Austin Aries won the Impact Wrestling Championship. He's not under Impact Wrestling contract, so if you're wondering how he's able to appear at Ring of Honor, that's how. He is a free agent, and I did notice it looked like he had the Impact title with him. I don't think that Impact minds at this point. It seems like they're totally open to working with other promotions as much as they can. And I also found it interesting that Taiji Ishimori announced that he's leaving Pro Wrestling NOAH. If you've been watching Impact, he's been a semi-regular on that show at their most recent tapings. He was the X Division champion, just dropped that title to Matt Sydal. I don't know where he's going next. And a talented guy, so I don't know if he's made it seem like he's open to doing international stuff. So, but I don't know who's going to end up signing him or if he just wants to be a free agent, but that'll be fun to follow. As far as the other thought I had on the Ring of Honor show, I'll leave most of them to that audio review that I mentioned earlier that the members have access to. But, Will, there were streaming issues. I know it's like only their second stream as far as the Honor Club is concerned. It looked to me like they just didn't have their ducks in a row when it came to the server. And because Lord knows we've had those issues in the past, but we're not owned by a major media corporation. So hopefully it's not going to be an issue for them going forward. But I will give them credit in this regard. As frustrating as it was on Friday night, because I passed up on going to see Brock Lesnar beat up The Miz at Target Center for the Ring of Honor show, as frustrating as that was, they were quick to address it on Twitter, which hasn't always been the case with that company. They just kind of let things happen and waited forever to comment on it. So at least they were acknowledging there were some issues. And hopefully it's, you know, I want to give them the benefit of the doubt, but I also reminded people in that audio show, look, this isn't Gabe and a couple of buddies that are running Ring of Honor anymore. You know, this is backed by a major media corporation, and they've had plenty of time to get this right, and hopefully this isn't going to be an issue WrestleMania weekend, because there's going to be a lot of disappointed people if that's the case, and you might see some people at that point asking for refunds. I would hope that they're not already based on one show, but that is a major show, and if people don't get their way, things could get ugly for Honor Club, so hopefully it's going to work out okay. Have you had a chance to really sample much of Honor Club yet?
I haven't yet. I was really disappointed when I saw what they had as a library for Honor Club, because when I hear Ring of Honor launching streaming service, I think, oh my God, I'm going to get to go back and watch old Kings of Wrestling matches. I'm going to get to go back and watch Bryan Danielson. I think I'm going to get some of my white whales as a wrestling viewer are like the Danielson and Kenta matches I never got to see. So
sure.
I think, oh my God, I want to see those so bad. They're going to be on. Nope. They're not on it. They don't have those. And I get really bummed out when I think about that, because I think Ring of Honor has, we've talked about it before, the best wrestling library in the United States that isn't already up on the internet. And I would put it better than every library but WWE's, basically, with the stars they have and the match quality that you know is on there. And I desperately want to watch some of their stuff that they just keep locked in the vault and that I can't go back and watch. And that really bums me out. So I haven't gotten to sample Honor Club a ton because I just haven't invested the time into it with Ring of Honor's pay-per-view, New Japan Cup, keeping up with WWE and all of that. But it's something I want to actually dive into and sample here coming up and get a real feel for what it is. And I do have to say, I don't blame people for asking for refunds after the Honor Club stream didn't work for a pay-per-view, purely because the people that were watching the pay-per-view, this is the first live pay-per-view they're getting after dropping $120 all at once on that service. And
right.
I, as opposed to, oh, it was a $10 a month thing. You know, they can keep my $10 this month and we'll make do. But when they have dropped $120 on that service, and it for the sheer fact that those pay-per-view streams will be up and they will be pristine, and it doesn't work, I do think Ring of Honor should be held accountable for that, and I don't blame people for them saying, you know what, I'm not going to spend the money here. I'm going to sign up for another wrestling streaming service, or I'm going to get these, you know, the 5 or 6 pay-per-views a year through Fight TV instead.
Well, and the other thing they need to be aware of, I mentioned this in that review, I was hearing from people going, this is why I haven't ordered the Honor Club yet. I wanted to see if the stream worked. And so
yeah.
I think there's an audience out there. I think they have potential Honor Club members waiting if they can prove that this is going to be functional on, you know, on a every time out basis like the WWE Network has been. And, you know, not that there's not buffering issues here and there or something like that with the network, but you haven't had major, major issues like we've seen with Ring of Honor at times over the years. And certainly for some people, it was functional for some. And the other part of it was like, my God, can you label this better? It was hard to figure out where do I go to watch this thing?
Always been trash.
Well, yeah, I just naturally clicked into Honor Club. No, it's not there. And like, okay. I happened to click on the order here graphic on the main page, and then I found it. Now, somebody did say, well, if you hit the watch option, that'll work. And so that's handy to know. But you got to make it – there's going to be new people sampling this all the time. And so watch on the old Ring of Honor site I thought meant something else, and so I didn't even think to click there. But, yeah, I mean, they just need to – that part of it I'm less forgiving of, because it just, it's a matter of just asking somebody on the roster even, or just a fan, hey, look at this. What would you click to watch our show? And if they can't figure it out, you know that you haven't done your job properly. So hopefully they're going to get stuff like that ironed out.
I want YouTube videos of Flat Earth Truther Flip Gordon trying to use the internet to watch Ring of Honor TV now. That's actually all I want from Ring of Honor content-wise until Supercard of Honor. It's just different wrestlers going like, wait, do I click here? What happens when I click here? Why isn't my bio updated? Like getting upset at their website. I would watch every minute of that content.
Now, I'm happy you mentioned Flat Earth Truther Flip Gordon, because I did interview him last week, and I asked him about that. And you can check it out at pwaudio.net, hear the full interview. I enjoyed the conversation. Flip was a good guy. You will be happy to know, Will, that Flip Gordon is a Flat Earther Truther, the man who plays him, not so much.
Oh, that's very good to know. Is this like Terry Bollea's penis?
I guess it kind of is. Yes, it's a lot like that. Wow.
Oh.
I didn't think we'd use the words Terry Bollea's penis today, but there it is.
I try to get one in every day.
You try to get... never mind. Anyhow, anything else you want to talk about today, Will, before we wrap this bad boy up? Anything you got to plug?
No, I don't think so. Just go to prowrestling.net, read, and comment on the real, what should be the real main event of WrestleMania 34 piece that I put up today, and follow me on Twitter at Will Pruitt with one L.
There you go. And by the way, the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast returned late last week as well, and the plan is for Will and Jake to get together this Friday again. So hopefully you guys will be hearing more of those. Always a pleasure to be joined by Will Pruitt here on ProWrestling.net Live. I don't know who my broadcast partner will be, but usually we do some bonus shows for WrestleMania time, and this year will be no exception. I will certainly be doing something on WrestleMania Sunday itself leading up. Usually we try to give an hour between our show and the actual WrestleMania kickoff show. If they make that thing any longer, then we may not. But chances are we'll have a show on WrestleMania Sunday, certainly the day after another edition of ProWrestling.net Live, and probably even on Tuesday as well. Stay tuned for more details on that by checking ProWrestling.net. And I also want to mention, for those who may have missed it, early in the show, again, the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast with Jason Powell, that's me, is coming soon. We'll be coming this month for a free weekly show. The idea is to give you guys a little bit of everything. I've got some fun ideas for the format. I don't want to give too much away here. Just kind of would rather have you guys listen to it. But I want it to be interactive. I want you guys to let me know what you think of the show and offer any suggestions. But it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a free weekly audio series that you guys will hear. Most likely on its own separate, it'll probably be away from the Blog Talk channel that we have now, probably something new for that. But very excited about that. So keep checking ProWrestling.net for more details on the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast. If some of you are wondering, hey, what happened to those free daily audio shows that we were doing? Well, they've kind of been replaced by this. Not that we're not going to give you guys some audio samples of what we do at pwaudio.net, but in fact, Pretentious Wrestling, as I mentioned, went up, that Flip Gordon interview. So we still have some content available for you guys on the PWAudio.net feed. But this is going to be something separate, most likely, and very excited about it. Look for it maybe as soon as next week, but certainly sometime in March, the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast with Jason Powell. More details to come. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. A belated happy birthday to occasional caller and even occasional co-host Johnny Fairplay. He celebrated his birthday on Sunday, and as I let the world know, we all hate Johnny Fairplay so much that we skipped an hour of his stupid birthday. Sure, they claim it's daylight savings time, but I think we all know why. On that note, everybody, thank you so much for listening. I will talk to you again very soon. Take care.